coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Second hour. Take it up to 6 o'clock and then hand it over to the folks. Ticket weeknights. Lots going on tonight. You've got, let's see here. I'll make sure we go through the list because we're full. The gymnastics team finishing the season in Denver. They'll go to the NCAA tournament. They'll go to the Denver region. Three all-conference young ladies head the way. Sophia, Emma Spence, and Kenzie Davis, who does a show here on Monday night. Emma and Kenzie have been holding it down for the last 4 months. And they've had quite the season. And then the bowling team, who is getting ready to head into their big-time events. Got to have dinner with them the other night. Just to catch up with them, and they're prepared to make a run.
There you go.
They're trying to get the chip. They're trying to get the championship. And then Speed and Power, Megan Walker will come in at 6 to 7, take us through the first hour. Shout out to our boy Harrison. He wasn't feeling well. Carter will fill in for him tonight, but Harrison will let you know. Hope you're feeling better, bruh. Greatly appreciate it. 402-464-5685. Sartor Hamann text line, Honda Lincoln Hotline. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, hit us with a what's up, and we'll read it, and I'll read all the text here as soon as we pay these bills. Sartor Hamann live video stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, if you want to follow what's going on in studio. And then Sartor Hamann live video stream, you can see what you need to see. We want to thank the folks from the Mercado. Greatly appreciate you making all of this happen each and every day for sponsoring this show, for sponsoring Old School each day. A couple of things on the text line. Drew Carr, what's up, man? Appreciate it. Says, did I miss some breaking news that I teased last week? Yes. The breaking news was this. We have welcomed a new member to the 93.7 The Ticket family. Vaguely familiar. Number 30. Amon Green has joined 93.7 The Ticket. He will do a weekly show, and we're efforting for more. But that will start actually Thursday night. He will record his first show. Of course, he's down running the new esports program at the university. But he will explain what that is and introduce us to some of those people. And then he'll extend and talk a little Husker football and a little sports in general. He doesn't need boundaries, so we're not going to give him any. I'll let him talk about what he wants to talk about. And I can tell you, there'll be more breaking news tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, at the end of early break. Jake and Sip and Bush will break more news for you. So don't miss out. Don't miss out. John and Cortland, appreciate you, brother. I teased a little bit, and folks went in and said, well, you know, there are programs in the country that have better women's coaches. Coaches leading the women's program than the men's program. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked the question, what does that mean for Nebraska? Is who's the better coach, Amy or Fred? I'll leave that to the text line. You guys can Bill and Bennett asked the question. So is Amy Williams a better coach than Fred Hoiberg? Austin, your thoughts?
In college, yes. I think Amy's had, at least relative to, you know, the level for these programs, mm-hmm. Amy's been better at Nebraska than Fred has. I think Fred still has the higher highs in making the tournament at Iowa State and then going to the NBA. But in terms of the resume at Nebraska and whose team I would take in a one-game scenario, mm-hmm. I'd probably go with Amy right now.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, that's, you know, facts being facts. I mean, this is a team that the women's team has made tournaments. Matter of fact, this year.
Still playing.
Derek says apples and oranges. Well, that was part of the reason why you have the discussion. Is there a different level of expectation?
I don't think so.
Right? I mean, the standards are the same.
Standards are the same.
Right?
Standards need to be the same.
They need to be the same.
And your ability to maneuver that roster through deep water is kind of a sign of whether you, as far as competency goes, right, that you consider. Amy has figured out a way to get, with the same recruiting issues and boundaries that Fred has, Amy's figured out a way to get her teams. I mean, last year's season was remarkable. In every way, it was just a great run. Now, there are some things that deterred from it at the end of it. Mm-hmm. But the reality is they got to the tournament. They didn't win in the tournament, but okay. But they did their thing. Ross says Amy has more production, but I think Fred, purely as a coach, has a higher ceiling. Yeah, I don't think there's a question about Fred's ceiling. I think, fair to say, Kenny, that most people's frustration with Fred is that he hasn't reached the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, we're not saying that. We're not talking about ceilings. We're talking about who's the better coach right now for their programs.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Amy's is the best. Now, like he said, Fred's ceiling is through the roof, but we say that about players. The ceiling is through the roof, but sometimes they never reach that ceiling.
Who had a better season? This is, and Derek says, women underachieved, men overachieved. Who had the better season? Men's program, women's program?
Women saw the better season. They still made the postseason, even if it was a little bit of a letdown in some degrees. But again, they've regrouped. They've won a couple games in the postseason. The men took a step forward, but again, the bigger goal was don't play on Wednesday. What'd they do? Play it on Wednesday.
Yeah, and this is not a slight to Fred or Amy. This is, as we were having the discussion, and there are programs around the country that have an elite women's an elite coach for their women's program, and there are programs that have elite women's programs, and the men's aren't. That's just the way it works. And they don't have to be equal, but I just thought for discussion's sake, it was pretty interesting. Now, let's jump into another space. The Big Ten Conference is not having a good tournament.
Again.
I was going to let that marinate, right? That the Big Ten Conference is doing Big Ten Conference stuff when it comes to basketball.
Got one left?
That's it. Michigan State, not the one. I don't think if we said a week ago that Michigan State would be the last Big Ten team standing, that we would all be surprised. We all trust Tom Izzo more than we trust every other coach ad infinitum in the Big Ten Conference, right? Like we give.
He's won it. He's won the big one.
Like he's
he knows how to get his team to that.
So there's no that is right. He's the only national champion.
He's the only one. So he knows.
And the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are two teams in the Big Ten Conference who have won a tournament in the last 20 years, but only one of them was in the Big Ten Conference when they did it. Maryland did it before. Mm-hmm.
Not long after Michigan State did it.
Right? I mean, this is – oh, my goodness gracious. That's depressing.
Izzo said he wanted a piece of pizza. All he said was he wanted a pizza, and he got his. He's going to get his pizza.
Man, look, doggone it. Eight teams this year, nine a year ago in the tournament, and then somebody went to Twitter and did what folks do on Twitter, which was start a fire and then run as fast away from it as quickly possible. But the statement was that, well, the lack of athleticism in the Big Ten Conference is glaring. Do you agree? Do you both agree? Is that a statement of truth, that the Big Ten Conference is lacking the athleticism of the SEC and the Big 12 Conference?
I would say from top to bottom, yes. But there's a lot of talent in the Big Ten. I mean, I'm talking about talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just they had off nights. On nights they shouldn't have off nights, and
two of the five best players in the country,
yes,
are in the Big Ten, according to all things. Now, is that a statement of truth? Because we're watching dudes play, who, quite frankly,
there are some guys that you're able to see now that you weren't able to see throughout the season, because of the tournament.
Yeah,
you know, guys on the West Coast, guys on the East Coast that you don't really take a liking to or wanting to watch, but you're getting a chance to watch them now. So there are some talented guys in the tournament. Now, like I said, the Big Ten has talent. I mean, I watched Indiana, and the way those guys, those big guys get off the floor, get up and down the court and get off the floor as quick as they do, they got some talent. They just fell short. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you say Indiana, you say Purdue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Northwestern had a good run. Now, Northwestern is not going to have the kind of talent that a Michigan or Indiana or Purdue is going to have.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, they fall in line with Princeton, if you know what I mean. Now, Northwestern does have – they do have one talented guy,
mm-hmm.
and he's been there about six, seven, seven, like 8 years.
Right? Like Boo Booey's been he's been through three football eras, four.
Yeah.
At Nebraska. Like he's seen, like he's reporting on Nebraska football. Like, hey, I remember.
From top to bottom, SEC has more talent. Would you agree?
I think the SEC's talent is concentrated more on the perimeter, whereas the Big Ten has tended to post players. And I think that is a similar vibe in football, too, where the Big Ten is all about line play, run the ball. SEC, I mean, I know you have to have the great defensive lines, and you have to have good offensive lines to be good in football. But the SEC in basketball right now is a lot of guards.
Would you take – go to the last two NBA drafts. Would you take Auburn and Alabama's bigs over Big Ten bigs? Like, those dudes are in the NBA balling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't get caught up. It's easy to identify tall dudes in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it because there's a whole lot of that. But if you were basing it on athleticism – you got to go to the big. You got to go to the SEC and stay there. You got to go to the Big 12. They had big dude 7-footers that ran the floor.
Trace Jackson Davis is the exception in the Big Ten as an athletic big guy.
Would you?
There are athletic dudes like him everywhere in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
And Purdue's big guy, he takes up a lot of space in the paint, but he can't do anything outside of 15 feet.
Dickinson's tall, has become more a stretch guy.
Yes.
But again, not necessarily an intimidating physical presence. Kofi Coburn, Dane Danger at Illinois. Space eaters, and athletic for their size, but not when it comes to March.
Wasn't a threat from outside. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, we may bring that point up. Michigan State, the last team standing, can't name their post guy. They're led by guards.
Led by guards.
Not the most athletic guards, but athletic enough guards.
I would say this, though. Whenever we get into these conversations, right, we speak from Nebraska pain and PTSD, right, of things that Nebraska has had to deal with, right? And you go, like people think the first – when you ask what is needed to fix Nebraska, the first thing they say is big, quality big, right? And they continue to say that. And then you look at Princeton. We can't name Princeton's big.
No.
That's the key. Nick and I talked about this, in that replicating what you did with Derek Walker is going to be impossible, and I also think it limits the ceiling. Not a knock on Derek, but look at the teams that are left standing, that are consistently left standing in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
You don't often know their big guy because they're there for two reasons, rebounding and rim protection.
Unless it's Timmy time. Timmy.
Right. Gonzaga's well-rounded in that they play through him on offense, but they cover for him on defense, and the guards are good.
But without Timmy, they are long gone.
Sure.
Without Timmy does all the dirty grunt work. Like he, the difference between Timmy and Big Ten bigs is he plays more traditionally like a Big Ten big, but he's more gritty. He's grittier than most Big Ten bigs.
Mm-hmm.
I put Timmy and Derek Walker in the same class of style of player, but I still think that if Princeton can find a way, or Fairleigh Dickinson can find a way, or Florida Atlantic can find a way, or any of these, a team to win a first round game. That's all we're talking. We're talking about getting there and winning a first round game. Like, it's a two step process to literally take the ceiling off Nebraska basketball. Big three tiered. One, don't play on Thursday at the Big Ten tournament. Right? First step up, like baby steps, but these are ginormous steps for Nebraska basketball. Don't play on Wednesday, which means you had some modicum of success in the regular season, and then advance to the NCAA tournament, and then win a first-round tournament game. Now, the likelihood that Nebraska gets to a tournament next year and being a top 32 seed, 8 and higher, limited. Limited.
Mm-hmm.
limited. Getting there, limited. Getting there and being a top eight, okay, even more so. So they're going to have to play up against somebody again. Now, then it becomes matchup, and this is where Florida Atlantic, Princeton, they figured out a way. Mm-hmm. They figured out a way. So copy success of teams like yours. Dom Capers used to talk about this a lot when it came to football, that he would look at talented players and then say, okay, I need to take their measurables and put them against the measurables of the people we're playing against. So from our division. So if I've got a, I see a dude on the board who's 6'9", 290 pounds, plays guard. And in my division, I got a block 330 pound lineman. I need the baddest 290 pounder I can get. Now, if he's at 305, I got a shot. So ain't no point of me going and trying to make a 290 pound dog into a 310 pound dog. Doesn't work. Nebraska needs to figure out this. Who are you trying to beat? How are you trying to get there? And then is it possible? So can who's the big next year? Can they win? Can they end up in the top half of the Big Ten with Blaise Keita as its big?
Probably not without another one.
Another.
I think Keita's the template defense rebounding guy.
If you put Blaise and Breidenbach together.
Not without high school Wilhelm reappearing.
What does it mean? Remember, he's still basically – he just ended his freshman year mm-hmm. as far as playing time. He just ended his first year. Remember, he got hurt early, and then he played hurt some of this year. So he's just getting into those 30 to 40 – games 30 to 40 where he needs to transcend and start to elevate again. So we'll see in the first 10 games next year who Breidenbach is. Until then, mm-hmm. you're evaluating too soon. The same thing applies for football. How many teams are you going to beat in the Big Ten Conference with a 5'10", 5'11" quarterback? How many defensive lines? How many edge setters? Division like round one, top five, top 10 defensive pass rushers that are common and consistent in the Big Ten Conference. Do you have a left tackle that competes at the level of the Bosas, Chase Young, etc.? That's the measuring stick, right? Whether we like it or not, that's the measuring stick. Do you have a center who could handle the nose tackles that play at Ohio State?
Not right now.
What receivers? Last year you had a receiver who could compete with Big Ten cornerback.
Mm-hmm. It's Riley Moss.
All right? You had that. Now you have to re-ask that question again and say, do you have a field stretcher where you have sprinters, but do you have a guy that if you lined up with him today, would you go, okay, this is a guy that's going to stretch defenses and make plays in the Big Ten Conference against Minnesota early in the season, Colorado and its defensive backs that Deion's going to put out there trained and gunned. Yeah, you'll be able to compete against games 3, 4, but then game 5, where you really put the mirror up and measure yourself, because it doesn't matter what happened the first 4 games, right? Because you figure you're going to at least if you fail forward, you're going to win 2 of those games. If you fail forward, you're 2-2.
Well, you said something that's totally false. You said it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters. Every game counts. So
It should count.
Every game counts.
It should count. But what we know about the program for the last 4 years is that it hasn't counted. It hasn't mattered. Because if it mattered, you'd have fixed it.
True.
At all costs, right?
True.
Like, you fix it. Like, I'm married. If something is deemed a problem, fix it. It's important for me to fix it. I can't say it's important if I don't fix it. Right? What we want and what we hope for Nebraska football is that it matters enough that they come out of this thing 3-1. That Michigan comes to town 3-1. Why? Because you need that room. You need that room. You cannot – you do not want to have to come into this thing facing blue 2-2. Now, you might. The likelihood is that you might. If you've changed everything, you're 3-1. If you've changed everything and caught lightning in a bottle, you're 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
But at 2-2, you really still don't quite know. And we walk into week 5, burning the first 4 weeks, and all of summer camp and all of spring camp being at the very place we were 2 of the last 4 years and not wanting to be there. So what did you change? You changed the leadership. You changed the verbiage. You changed the mentality. Now you have to change the work. Kenny, you know the talent on this roster. You know the talent on this, or most of the, 90% of the talent on the roster. Let's go through the Big Ten Conference, team by team, and I'll ask you, as they currently stand day one of spring practice, whether this roster is more talented than the teams of the Big Ten Conference. You up for that? Is that fair? Is that too? I know Austin would be fired up. Like Austin would like look at him. Look at the grin on his face. He can't wait to look at that.
with what they have returning.
Yeah.
What they've added.
Uh-huh.
I can't answer that until
you see him.
I see him
in this space.
And you know what I mean? In all fairness, what I left, I would say 7th or 8th at best.
Okay. Austin, we're going to go through this, bro. We're going to go through this. We're going to do it. We're throwing the break here. We come back. Again, it's day one, and we haven't seen anything because we weren't allowed. But that's okay. What I'm asking, and we're asking for your opinion. So text line, feel free to go on this dance with us, and we'll go team by team just from talent on the roster. Right? Talent on the roster, not coaching, not scheme, nothing. You can't be wrong in your opinion if you tell me that you think Nebraska is the third most talented team in the Big Ten. I'm cool with it. I just want to hear you. I want to hear you. So we'll throw it a break. When we come back, we'll go through this Big Ten. It's day one, spring practice.